You guys set?
Yes.
Gotta go.
Ready to go?
Let's do it.
When you gotta go, you gotta go. Okay. Well, let's go.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
Today is Monday, May 29th, and it's time for episode 190 of the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent and Chris. Welcome to the show, guys. I almost forgot who was here. It's been a while. How you guys doing?
How you doing?
All right.
Doing fantastic. Thank you.
Other than just completely forgetting how to speak.
It's okay.
Yeah. Well, happy Memorial Day to you, and thanks for making it here on a holiday to do the show. And
yeah, the weekend is wound down, so it's no problem. I enjoy doing it.
By holiday, I mean Scott's birthday, which is tomorrow, which is probably when you're going to listen to this. So wish him a happy birthday. Apparently, it's a month-long celebration. So, but yeah, he's not with us here tonight. But hopefully, yeah, I keep promising he will be back on the show at some point. Anyway, I'm back in town, and hopefully for the summer. No big trips planned. And of course, the day I leave from my last trip, Apple releases the new software update. Actually, they released a bunch of them, but always when I'm out of town. They must be looking at my calendar. I use iCal. They must be looking at it. So watch OS 3.2.2, which I believe just fixed, what it has, bug fixes and security patches only, right?
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, no new features. I know I can update it when I'm on the road. I just don't like doing that when I rely on my phone and my watch so much when I'm traveling. If the update kind of goes sideways on me, it could make for a very long trip. So I waited till I got back. Have both of you updated?
I have.
Okay.
I did, and I did it at a Hilton hotel. I took the chance.
You did? Okay. Wow, you're brave.
And it worked. Yeah, no problem.
It worked. Okay.
No problem.
Because the problem with it is you got to do your phone too. And so there's two devices that could possibly have a problem with updates, because that's happened before with Apple. Some updates, you're not quite sure if you should jump right in. But you know, it was no big deal. It didn't take very long to update. And I would definitely recommend it for anyone, for your watch and for your phone, just for security's sake. I think they patched some good stuff there. So anyway, what else is going on?
Lots.
Okay. So much we didn't know where to start.
Well, the exciting thing is, I don't know if you had it in the news, we'll have it in the news or not, but I've seen various reports on when the new watch is going to come out, anywhere from September to next year. So it'll be interesting to see what really happens.
Ooh, I didn't hear that one. Next year.
Yeah, there's one article that came into my feed. I guess it was last week. I lose track of weeks from time to time. Might have been a little earlier than that, but it talked about next year being the release.
Oh, wow.
You'll have to track it down and maybe email you the source. I can't remember the source of it, actually.
They're not going to do that, are they?
No, I mean, it was kind of surprising to me.
They can't wait that long. I mean, no. Well, I guess they could if there was a good reason for it, but they're going to have to do something they've never done before, which is tell you all about it first. You know,
The article is written by Swatch. I don't know.
It may be.
Trying to sabotage it.
Speaking of that, the Worldwide Developers Conference is coming up. We're recording this on Monday. And by the way, I apologize, we're a day late this week. So, but next Monday, June 5th, is the Worldwide Developers Conference from Apple. And the big keynote speech, all the new stuff is going to be announced to developers. But sometimes they release hardware there too. They mention it. Hopefully we'll be able to do a show on Monday to talk about that. I'm not sure if schedule-wise that can work out, but it'd be kind of nice to do. Do you have any predictions for what... obviously they're going to talk about updates to all the OSs, right? The Mac OS, the Watch OS, the TV OS, and iOS, right? I think all four of those will be updated, and they can talk about the new features to developers. But hardware-wise, man, there's all kinds of rumors swirling around. New laptops, updates on those, maybe a new Apple TV, possible Siri standalone.
The home device.
Device that you mm-hmm. speak to, which, you know, that would be a whole new release of Siri, though. Wouldn't it require Siri to be kind of moved up several grades? Yeah. In order to be able to do that,
the last conference was all about the Siri kit, right? I mean, it was those waves, and then now, is there a theme that's been released for this one yet?
You mean like on the invitation?
Yeah,
the invitation is like an overhead view of a bunch of people walking up to each other and shaking hands and meeting and greeting, like a conference thing. Very, very colorful, and of course they avoid the area to create the Apple logo. It doesn't really give you any info. I've not heard a thing about that.
Oh, sharing of your data.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
And what time is that next week, Tom? I think you said is it noon?
It's Central noon time? Central time, so it's usually 10 a.m. Pacific time, which will be 1 p.m. Eastern time. And I do believe you'll be able to stream that live through many different sources. Probably the best one, if you have an Apple TV, there's actually an app for WWDC. And I looked at it the other day. It's the icon for the app on the Apple TV has already been updated to show that graphic I just talked about of the invitation. Mm. That's already there and waiting. So that'll probably be the best way to watch it. I think you can watch it online, though, too, can't you?
Mm-hmm. An Apple's
website?
Yeah. I think that's what I did last year.
Live. So we'll see. We'll see what's announced. I don't know. The watch stuff, I don't think they're going to talk about hardware unless the new OS for the watch has some new cool feature. And we'll get to that in the news in just a little bit that would require them to mention what's coming. So that may be different. I don't know. You know, unlike other conferences from Apple, this is one I've not heard much about. And I don't know if I'm just not paying as much attention as usual, or they're being super secretive about it. But usually by this time, a week before, you pretty much know what's going to happen. But I've not heard anything specific.
Has the information in the past come from Apple itself or other sources that have kind of put it out there for everyone to consume?
Usually other sources.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, most of the rumor mill right now is about the new iPhone, right?
The Ocho. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The what?
The Ocho.
Ocho, yes. Everybody's trying to get, well, even we don't know what it's going to be called, do we? It's the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. They could call it some special name.
Right.
Or number, but technically it'd be the 7S, wouldn't it?
No, I heard they were going to release a 7, a 7S, 7S Plus. And then you have the 8 as well.
Of course. And the 8 will be the most expensive and the one with the only features that you really want.
Vertical camera stacked, mm-hmm. basically.
I that's the other thing that leaks out is cases, designs mm-hmm. for the cases. Mm-hmm. But Apple never gives the case manufacturers information ahead of time. They're guessing too, aren't they? They have to be.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Apple doesn't tell anybody
anything. Well, they guess anything. Good then, because those cases are available day one. After a phone's release, so there must be some either fantastic guessing or some kind of information exchange.
Well, they may announce them, but I don't think you can buy them day one, can you? Maybe.
Mm.
Maybe certain ones they do give them a heads up.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I usually typically buy an Apple case, so obviously they're going to have them.
Yeah,
but Apple. The third-party ones, I don't know. I would. Yeah, maybe they ramp up to manufacture, but that even takes some time to do.
Yeah. It does.
You got to make the molds, you know, you got to make the molds and get the dimensions and do your prototyping. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do.
No. And you know, my guess is that they create many prototypes and just wait for the, you know, here's the five possible ones that could be. And then they wait for the announcement and that's the one they push the button on. But Anyway, I also want to mention real quick, I almost forgot up here at the front of the show here, is Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/AppleWatchCast, you can view our page. And if you'd like to support this show, you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month and receive some cool stuff from us, like a shout out on the show. You get access to bonus episodes. You also get official Apple WatchCast mugs and a watch band, all kinds of cool gear. In fact, even at a certain level, you can be a guest on this show, or you can join us for a segment of App or Crap. That would be a lot of fun. Now, we don't make any money doing this podcast, obviously. In fact, I would argue that it costs us money. But if we could get to the point of this show just paying for itself, I would be very, very happy. So check out the page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple WatchCast. And I just want to thank all of our current subscribers. You know who you are. Thank you for supporting this show. All right. Anything else you want to mention before we officially dive in here?
No. No. Let's move on.
I'm trying to remember whether or not we did the Mother's Day one since last time we spoke.
Mother's Day challenge, we did mention it.
I did.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
You guys got yours, right?
Right.
We all did, I think.
Did you get yours, Vincent?
I did.
You did?
Went for a walk with my mom, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You did mention that. Maybe we did mention that on the show. Because we're all like, oh, we just went by ourselves. You kind of one-upped us there, Vincent. All right. Time to move on.
Apple WatchCast News.
All right, time for the news. And first thing I want to talk about is a report that claims Apple is working on diabetes. Now, we talked a little bit about this in a past episode. This is just another report that Apple is working on a diabetes treatment technology for the Apple Watch. But this time, the report says it's through smart bands. So this is from BGR, and they say, according to our source, Apple's sights are now set on the epidemic of diabetes, and the company plans to introduce a game-changing glucose monitoring feature in an upcoming Apple Watch. Our sources indicate that Apple has hired 200 PhDs in the past year as part of the company's laser lock on improving and innovating in the health space with Apple Watch. So they're claiming that Apple has these interchangeable smart watch bands and speculate those could be used to facilitate diabetes treatment. The other quote here is that Apple also plans to introduce interchangeable smart watch bands that add various functionality to the Apple Watch without adding complexity and without increasing the price of the watch itself. This could also mean that the glucose monitoring feature will be implemented as part of a smart band rather than being built into the watch hardware. What do you guys think about this new rumor?
Well, first of all, I think you guys have talked a lot about in the past that the band is a place to go because the watch is only so big. So I think moving to the band with all these capabilities is a great idea. So and not, I think, surprisingly new to us, because I think that's where we figured they would go. But I think it's pretty neat. I think that if you can do something like diabetes, which is, you know, I don't have all the statistics, but I know it's pretty big deal in the United States. It's it'd be something that I think would really bring the watch to, you know, everyone's life.
Yeah. Last month, I think it was CNBC reported pretty much what BGR is saying here, claiming about them working on this, but also saying that they're doing feasibility trials at clinical sites in the Bay Area. Getting ready for the regulatory process, which means they're pretty far down the road. That's kind of interesting. So what they're actually saying is that this research is being done on a method that shines light through your skin to measure your glucose levels. And we did talk about this a little bit in the past, but as we keep hearing this, I don't think this is just rehashing the same story. I think this has a little bit of a twist to it. Very, very interesting. In fact, our next story, it's almost confirmed here by Tim Cook that he was spotted with a blood monitoring Apple Watch prototype. So this, again, comes from CNBC, I love this. They say that Tim Cook was spotted wandering around Apple's campus. Was he lost? Wandering around the campus with a prototype blood glucose monitor for constant blood sugar monitoring. So now they're not saying whether it's a part of the watch or it's an add-on accessory. I mean, putting it in the band makes sense. So that, I don't know, you know, all of this stuff requires FDA approval, which takes forever. Mm-hmm. And which is why Apple never put it in the watch to begin with. So a lot of this health stuff, they just didn't want to delay the watch. But if you put it in a band, you can wait for the band to be available and exactly. You can still sell the watch, right? So,
It says here, Tom, I just did a quick Google search, so it has to be right, right?
Yeah, they don't lie.
366 million people around the world have diabetes, roughly 26 million in the United States.
Yeah.
For about 5 million deaths a year. So that's significant numbers.
That is. It would be, yeah, this would be a game changer if they could do it and it worked right, you know.
But it's a good question to determine whether or not it's an external device or on the band. I mean, I'm just thinking through. I mean, we've always been big fans about having smart bands and connecting it to our watch, but it's always been some sort of technical issue, like how are you going to get the thing to communicate, whether it's going to be Bluetooth, is it independent batteries, is it that little port, is it a whole brand new interface between the watch and the band that we're going to have to, purchase. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. It would be nice to be able to like charge the band using the Apple Watch, but then you're talking about battery life issues now again. And then, but then that data is over Bluetooth or something like that, the way that the camera band works. So
yeah, now the camera band, that's a perfect example, Vincent, right, of the charging, because it comes with its own charging stand,
right,
that you can set it on to charge the band separately from the watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm almost more excited about that than anything, you know, that I've heard coming up. So now are we going to hear this at WWDC? Probably not, right? Too soon.
But maybe developing, because this is a developers' conference,
and right,
developing the SDK for smart bands,
that
might be an interesting way of like, this is ways you can create apps that utilize sensors within a band that they offer. So the blood glucose one might be the Apple core one, but everything else that you can do with that light might be another kit that they give out to developers.
Did you just say Apple core?
Yes, Apple core.
Okay. Well, you know, if they did this, that would be the biggest news coming out of this keynote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the health, yeah.
That's huge. Yeah, yeah, that's mm-hmm. like unbelievable.
Extension of health kit for bands, yeah.
Right.
Reading glucose level with light, that's got to be some kind of neat research they're doing.
Well, everybody's tried it, right? I mean, all these different companies have been trying this for years. And you think Apple actually cracked it, that they actually did it. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and find out. Could be pretty neat. The fact that Tim Cook was spot. Now, how did they know he was wearing it? That's what I want to know.
Some other device.
Say maybe just an awkward looking band or something.
Or did he mention something? No, he was at a school and he made some speech and he mentioned something about monitoring his blood glucose levels. He said, I do it all the time. I'm doing it right now or something like that. I think that's how they confirmed that he was wearing a prototype of some sort. He didn't say what it was. He didn't even say that Apple made it. Could be a third party, right? That we don't even know about that just ties into the Apple Watch. Not sure. A lot of speculation, but
that'll be interesting. We'll find out on Monday.
Yeah. Exciting stuff though. And then speaking of, you're talking about the band and the watch and communicating, this is from Patently Apple. This is a patent that Apple, it was an application, published the application. It doesn't mean they've actually received this patent yet, but they applied for it. It's an all-new Apple Watch design with a display covering the face and the band. And it's using something new from Corning, that is a highly flexible and strong, it's called Willow Glass. And the design that they sketched for this patent is a very strange looking watch. that would have the screen going all the way around it, I would assume.
So that's what it looks like. Kind now, of, yeah. There's no start or end point, just kind of blends all the way around.
Yeah, now
it's
Apple.
A bracelet.
It is. See, Apple notes that the patent covers a system of applications including wearable, rollable, and foldable displays. That's pretty interesting. Now, this is not a patent for a design. Right? This is just for the concept, so it could not necessarily look like this. And I'll put a link in the show notes so you everybody can see this. But very interesting that Apple's looking at this, just this concept. And maybe this down the road is the idea for the all-in-one, right? That maybe we have separate bands for now, but down the road it'll be built into the watch. Different model, right?
Yeah, if you look at the drawing, it'd be difficult to see where you can swap. That's my first impression, was there's no band swapping. It's basically the watch has everything, and maybe you can upload and download content and software to it to do different things.
Yeah, now it says the module may also include a communication module. And one embodiment, the communication module, can further include wireless transceivers for Bluetooth or WLAN connectivity, and can additionally include one or more transceivers to communicate with a wide area network, including a cellular data network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. We'll see. Nice patent from
all
Apple.
All in one.
All in one.
Speaking, it's like the iMac for your wrist.
It's the what?
It's the iMac for your wrist.
Well, you could probably use the circular part of it or expand out. Maybe you can even do that, is figure out and determine how much of that face that's available you want to use for a certain app or a certain activity on your watch. Everything may not use the entire scope of the watch. This, in this design we're looking at, I mean, so there's all kinds of options you can do with it.
Maybe it's for kids.
When you said an iMac, a Mac on your wrist, I immediately pictured the Sunflower Mac.
Yes.
I want the display to pop up and pivot and turn. And that would look awesome.
I love
awesome.
That design. Yes.
Okay, speaking of great design, I'm so jealous about this next story. This is from Wired Magazine, and I posted this on Facebook and Twitter. I'll, again, put another link in the show notes to this. Stephen Levy is a... he's a journalist. He's written several books about Apple. He's been around them for a long time. He got an exclusive tour of their new campus, their mothership.
Wow.
Yeah, with Johnny Ive. And the title of the article is called One More Thing. And incredible photo there. But just so many neat things coming out of this article. Just his description of it makes me go, wow, this is amazing. Including, there's several really cool points made in this article, but the one that I thought was most interesting was the development or evolution of this design. It wasn't always a circle. Uh-huh. Initially, it was all different kinds of shapes. It was based on pods. At one point, it was like a cloverleaf type design, or a propeller, I guess you could call it. Just all kinds of stuff. I had no idea that they went through this many versions of it before landing on kind of the obvious when you think about it. It's just a circle, right? But it didn't.
Circles are hard.
It didn't start out that way. Yeah, they are. It didn't start out that way. But they all had some sort of curve to them. You know, it's the curve in the glass that makes it so difficult. Mm-hmm. But I heard something the other day. Somebody said, I think it was some other podcast, they were interviewing someone who worked on this at the campus, and he said they had all kinds of problems with the glass, that when they first started building the structure, you know, buildings settle, right? And it was breaking the glass. These pieces of glass have to be made. You can't just make one. You've got to make a bunch. They're $100,000 each.
Right. And I think they're made in Germany.
Right. And if one breaks, it basically costs you $1 million to replace it. So, wow. Yeah, hopefully they have all that fixed. But just something to keep in mind.
You gotta put a screen protector on that.
You put a giant.
Well, they talk about the buildings on shock absorbers, right? So the for earthquakes.
Yeah, a lot of buildings in California that way. So I'm sure it, hopefully it is. First little rumble we get and this whole thing's going to pancake. I don't know. That's not good. anyway, some cool photos in here. And then the thing that got the most attention, which I'm sure drove Stephen Levy crazy, was what he mentioned, this pizza box. Did you see this thing?
Oh, yeah, they patented the pizza box.
They did. It's a special cardboard box to hold a pizza that's got these holes in it. It almost looks like the campus itself.
Mm-hmm.
But they got a patent for it, and it's to keep the pizza from getting soggy when you package it up. But actually, that makes a lot of sense. How long before Domino's and everybody else kind of copies this?
Yeah, exactly.
Not long.
Some variation of it.
And they also talked about just all the stuff that Steve Jobs, when he sat down with the architects, all the stuff he talked about that blew them away. He was like, I want to use a certain kind of wood for the furniture from a certain forest, and it has to be milled at a certain time of the year to have the least amount of sap in it, et cetera. And they were just like, what? Are you crazy? including when they built part of this, these walls that are stone, he wanted them distressed to look like... to look like some faded jeans or something. I mean, it's just like a super expensive process.
Yeah, just said like a pair of jeans. I don't know if it was specific, but it was kind of...
Wow, the detail that's
and
in
this. Didn't he like say what quarry they'd come out of too?
I mean, he was just unbelievable. I think they ended up not doing the wood that way. They the panels... I think they ended up doing them as a veneer,
right?
From recycled wood. So they went more in an environmental path for a lot of the stuff. Apparently, Steve Jobs hated air conditioning, and he couldn't stand fans. So he wanted the building to be open to breathe, natural ventilation. He said he wanted people to know what the weather was like outside. Just because you're stuck in a building doesn't mean you shouldn't know what's going on. It's kind of an interesting concept.
I wonder what the technology is built in. I mean, just overall, is there Siri like in the walls? Is she always listening or something?
Oh, gosh.
Well, that would get outdated. I guess you just update the software.
Updater.
Yeah.
You have to have a software update.
Well, we're getting off on a tangent here, but didn't Bill Gates... I remember reading a number of years back, he had this special house built with all these special monitors in it and all this high-tech stuff, which is so far out of date now. You'd have to remodel the entire house just to get up to speed, right?
Right.
So you can take it too far.
Well, it depends if you're out of date for software or hardware, right? If it's software, you can fix. Hardware, that's going to take some time.
Right.
Yep.
Anyway, check it out. It's a great article. It's called One More Thing. It was from, it says, Inside Apple's Insanely Great or Just Insane New Mothership. And again, I think there's some new videos online that show it like right as the sun is setting and it's all lit up. It's beautiful. Again, I say from space, it looks like a giant power button. What else is going on? Hey, we got some new bands. Nike introduced, these are called Day to Night collection of Apple Watch sport bands. Now, this collection is it's based on their Nike Air VaporMax Flyknit. I love how they come up with these names. It's a collection of running shoes, and these bands apparently match the colors of this. Now, this collection, Day to Night, celebrates runners whenever they choose to run at twilight, sunset, and everything in between. So each of the colors is inspired by a shade of the sky from dawn to dusk.
Does anything on the shoe light up? In the picture, I couldn't tell. If you're going to run at dusk, I don't know if the shoe will light up. Of course, I'm kind of half joking, but to be safe.
I don't think it lights up, but I can just imagine the pitch meeting when they pitch this idea, right? Photos of people running in the morning and the evening and different, pulling the colors out. I could do a great keynote with this. It would have been
fantastic. You'll have Pantone chips next to it.
Oh, it would have been fantastic. So anyway, these bands are $49, and you can get them on June 1st, which is what, Wednesday, Thursday? Coming up this week.
Thursday,
coming up this week. Only on Nike's website or at select Nike retail locations. Now, the bands will come to Apple's online store and Apple stores later in June. So apparently Nike gets a slight little exclusive on this for a little while. But if you were dying to have a band that matches your shoes and you happen to have these VaporMax Flyknit day to night shoe from Nike, you can now get a band to match it. And it's the same, by the way, it's the same type of perforated band that that you can get with the Nike watch right now.
Yeah, it looks like the pin.
Is the first
on the
band
blue
that's
one
in that picture already the white one that they have?
No, that's a different shade.
It's a different shade?
I think that is different.
A little gray.
It's got a little red or
a little
gray
more gray. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you saying, Vincent? The pins look.
The pin on the black and blue one
looks black.
I think it's black.
I think it is too, or it's just a bad photograph.
Could be.
Could be bad lighting. The others look silver to me. Well, I don't know. Wait a minute. The lightest one, that looks pretty dark.
Yeah.
I'll put a link in the show notes to this as well. Anyway.
You guys looking at a different picture that's in the – I'm just looking at a picture from a top down. How can you see the
pin?
The pin.
The buckles there.
Well, I'm looking at the pin.
The links.
Yeah, the pin on the watch. It's a little hard to tell.
Yeah.
We'll see. So there may be some new bands.
They're neat colors, though. They're very, very neat colors.
Yeah. There may be some new bands in my future. We'll see.
I want a band of what is that, Flyknit material?
I don't know what that is. Oh, that stuff. Hey.
Yeah, stuff on the top of the shoe, right?
They might. That's a good idea. Yeah,
it's actually breathable.
It's perforated just like the band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really does match pretty well.
Yeah.
I like that. Cool. I can't run in Nike shoes. I run in a different brand. But anyway, so if you're fashion conscious runner, you can now get a band to match your shoes. Moving on. Let's see what else. This is cool. New study comparing the accuracy of 7 different fitness trackers. The Apple Watch was found to have the lowest margin of error when measuring your heart rate. They beat out the Basis Peak, the Fitbit Surge, the Microsoft Band. I don't even know why that was in the list. The Mia Alpha 2, the Pulse On, and the Samsung Gear S2. Very interesting. They had 60 volunteers, each of whom wore several fitness trackers and completed activities like cycling, running, and walking. So they did several different things to test this, and apparently Apple's came out on top. Now, it wasn't 100%. None of these are 100%. I think they have a margin of 5%. So they say if it's at least 5% or lower, it's considered really accurate. So Apple came in with the lowest error rate at 2%. And the Samsung Gear S2 had the highest at 6.8. That's a big difference between 6.8 and 2% as to whether you're getting. Now, the bad news out of this study is they found that pretty much all of them were terrible at estimating calories burned. Pretty much none of them got that right. that's kind of our experience too, wouldn't you think, with the Apple Watch? We have a lot of questions about that. Yeah. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
But they were largely inaccurate is what they said. So so one up for Apple and thumbs down for everybody else on calories. maybe they'll improve that later. And then this last story, I just want to mention, this isn't the last story, actually. Apple and Nokia, right? Did I say that right? Is it Nokia?
No idea.
Apple and Nokia bury the hatchet, which could mean better smartwatches in the future. So apparently they've had this battle going on in the courts for quite a while between some of the stuff that Nokia came up with that Apple was supposed to be licensing from them and didn't, and part of it got moved to a patent troll. It's a big, long, messy legal thing. Well, they've settled it. So they came up with some undisclosed amount of money and future revenues and some multi-year licensing agreement, which basically means that Apple will continue to sell or start or bring back, I guess, the Withings fitness devices, which is owned by Nokia, that used to be in Apple stores. Well, they're going to bring them back because apparently Apple pulled them at some point. So they're bringing those back, and apparently they may be working together on a bunch of stuff, particularly for smartwatches. So
let me get this straight. Nokia was the top of the game. Mm-hmm. They had their phones. Then Microsoft bought them out. And then Microsoft sold them off, and they're independent again, and now they're working with Apple.
I'm not sure. That's another chapter in this book of litigation. I'm not sure. I had no idea they were bought by Microsoft. Did they buy everything from them, or just their phone division?
I think they bought the company, the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. And
whoa.
I think they bought them off. Yeah.
Really? Huh.
So, well, maybe it's just a phone asset. Who knows?
Maybe. Anybody knows, send us an email.
I just wondered who came up with that idea, because it's kind of a logical idea. Why not spend your money on making products for the consumers of the world to be better versus spending your money on lawyers to sue each other? So someone said, why don't we just collaborate? And who, you know, that person just, I guess, light bulbs went off in their head. Very good idea.
Right. I mean, Tim Cook is also the one who famously resolved kind of their issues with Google, right? Because with Steve, it was thermonuclear war is what he called it, right?
Yeah.
Against Google. And Tim Cook, since he's been CEO, has kind of made peace with that and everybody else. So, yeah, I think there's just too much litigation going on. It probably is getting in the way of development on a lot of stuff.
I looked it up here. It says, in 2015, Microsoft writes off the Nokia acquisition as a failure. In 2016, the Nokia phones are back. So you were right, Vincent.
So
it's back.
And that may have had a factor in the lawsuit as well.
Yes. Yeah.
They got spun off and they needed cash. So
can't afford us. Keep on suing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all I can say is that in the long run, it's got to be good for the people buying smartwatches. Just has to be, because there's so many nice patents out there, and if they can collaborate instead of fight, it's just better products for us.
Exactly. Speaking of a better product, and this is debatable, but this is the final story I want to talk about. There's a watch maker by the name of H. Moser and C.I.E. They're a Swiss watchmaker. They've come out with a limited edition Swiss Alp watch, and it's 4 Zs is the name. ZZZZ. Okay?
No top. Pretty catchy.
No top, just ZZZZ. But it looks just like an Apple Watch. I mean, exactly like an Apple Watch, but it's actually a mechanical watch with a super high price tag. Now, this is a family-owned watch company that builds and finishes each watch by hand.
Wow.
So this watch, it has a rectangular case with rounded corners featuring a glossy black dial. At first glance, it could be mistaken for a smartwatch on standby, but look a little closer and it reveals itself to be a living watch with a heart and soul. The Swiss Alp watch from H. Moser and C is 100% mechanical, 100% Swiss. In this watch, the now iconic model features neither indices nor logo on its dial, proving that true luxury is unmistakable and immediately identifiable, even without obvious marketing. Okay, so they're taking the concept of you're wearing an Apple Watch or a smartwatch that's, you know, not awake, and they're making you think at first glance that it's a smartwatch when in fact it's not. Now, on the back of this watch, it has a clear red glass opening so you can see all the mechanics of it running. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the kicker. They have a blue version with a blue background. That is this kind of funky blue dial, as they call it, which makes it look even more like a smart watch. Anyway, they're only making 20 of these with the black face and 20 with the blue. So the total of 40 only. And the price tag is $26,900 each.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can't, I don't think you can easily switch out the band. It doesn't look like you can. It's got the same design, but it's like if the lugs were permanently put into the watch. So if they sell all of them, they sell all 40 at that price, it's a little over $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it makes me think too that they're a little ahead of their time, because when everyone has a smartwatch in 5, 10, 15 years, someone's going to go back and make mechanical watches and call them retro and make a lot of money.
Well,
isn't retro always something that's popular?
I just think that they see a part of their market. Now, it's not always the high end hasn't been touched at all by Apple Watch. Obviously, can you buy a $10,000 gold Apple Watch anymore? No.
No.
It did not work. But a portion of the standard watch industry has been affected by these smartwatches.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
But I don't see this as a threat. You know, people who are paying this kind of money for a watch, why would you position it against a smartwatch that they'd never buy anyway? Mm. I don't understand that.
Well, with that price too, I read the article. I just didn't really know what the reason behind it was, because obviously they're not catering to you and me and us. They're catering to someone that, I mean, who's going to buy that?
Right. I mean, it looks great. It looks wonderful.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. But sure.
That kind of money for, and by the way, I think they said it stays running for 2 or 3 days before you manually wind it with the crown.
Wow.
Well, Apple's going to get to that point anyway soon. You're going to be able to wind your crown on your Apple Watch and charge it, I'm sure, soon. But
but anyway, interesting.
One of these days, your watch, God forbid, is going to die, right? I mean, it's not going to work any longer. I can imagine people retrofitting the old digital case and making it into an automatic watch, analog watch. It'd be so cool.
That's a cool idea. Mm-hmm. And do what they did. Cut out the back and make it clear so you can see the mechanics of it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. Of course, it would cost, $26,000 to do it. So I don't know. Maybe it'll be cheaper by then.
Right.
But anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. Anything else in the news you guys want to mention before we move on? I know we're kind of playing catch up here, but
no, that's a lot.
Yeah, I think so. And we're going to have a lot to talk about next week with WWDC. So can't wait for that. All right, time to move on.
The Apple Watchcast app reviews.
All right, time for app reviews. Chris, why don't we start with you?
Sure, Tom. So I'm going to review an app called Weber Grills. So anyone's heard of the Weber company? They have grills. And since summer is starting here in the United States, I mean, you may have some listeners that are in other parts of the world that maybe the winter is coming instead of summer.
That's true.
But so this is a pretty neat app. I'll briefly go through what it does on the phone and then talk about the watch. But really on the app on the phone, there's a section for products. So if you want to see every Weber product you ever wanted to see, it's on here. And it's pretty neat. Not that I am in the market for one right now, but if you are, you should download this app and look. You'll get some great grills and great other products that are kind of recommended. The main part is two key elements. One is called recipes and one is called grill guides. And the cool thing about the recipe is across the top, there's just little icons. It's an icon of a cow, icon of a pig, and you get the gist of, you hit the, there's a fish, and you hit an icon of the fish and all these fish foods come up or dishes come up. You just tap the picture. There's probably, I couldn't even tell you how many hundreds of pictures here. Lots of great dishes. So I'm looking at the fish and you tap the picture and it gives you the whole recipe. And then you can just say, add it to my shopping list, and it puts it in a shopping list for you in the app. So you can actually go buy everything you need to get. So that's the recipes, hundreds and hundreds of great recipes. The grill guide is the cool thing, though. That's where you can select what you're going to grill, red meat or pork or poultry, seafood, vegetables or fruit. And, you know, if I hit red meat, and then it lists all these red meats, and I'll select filet, and I'll say it's 1 inch thick, and I'll say I want it medium, and it says calculate the grilling time. It says 10 to 12 minutes, and you can hit start timer, and it starts a timer for you. The neat thing is if you have different people in your party that have, you know, different flavors or tastes of how much they want their food cooked, you can have multiple things and multiple timers going on at the same time, which is kind of neat. So you can see when you need to start one, when you need to take one off the grill. And of course, these are recommended times. You're going to have to kind of manage everything. So that's really neat on the phone. It's got a great set of capabilities. On the watch, basically what it does, it gives you a couple options. Well, one option is you can just select from a list of items to cook. And basically, it's called a recommended list, and there's probably 15 or 20 things. You just touch it, and it tells you how much time you should put it on the grill, and it starts a timer. Another part on your watch says active timers. So instead of looking at your phone, you keep the phone in your pocket. You can have all the different things on the grill cooking based on what you put on the grill guide, and all the timers are listed there. And you get notifications when it's done. It basically says, you know, check to make sure it's complete or it's at your liking. And then finally, what it does, it keeps a history on your watch. So if you cooked a filet, you cooked some chicken, or you cooked a brat, all those times and sizes, as well as, you know, medium, rare, or how you cooked them, all is stored in the history there. So you can just, you know, next time you're going to cook something that's very similar, you just load up your watch and, oh, there's that chicken I cooked, same size. I wanted this, you know, completely done. Hit that. It'll say, you know, 10, 12 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes, depending on how big it is. So it's a pretty neat little app. You know, I grill out a lot, and I use my phone, I use my watch. I just set a timer. But sometimes when you have multiple things on there, you know, it's hard to have multiple timers on your watch. So this Weber app does that, and that's what I found very valuable, is the ability to have, you know, telling you what you're cooking, the time, and then the multiple timers.
You're making me hungry. And perfect timing, by the way. Today is Memorial Day, so good timing with this app. That's kind of neat. I do like also the fact that it mentions the type of heat for each, because that timer doesn't help you at all unless you know how hot the grill is, right? And this would work, I would assume, whether you have a gas grill or charcoal grill.
Yeah, it you know, gas grills, I've had both, and I have both now. You know, the gas grill, you can kind of manipulate the heat a little easier than, you know, charcoal, because I'm not very good at the charcoal. Once the charcoal's going, it's going, and it's going to get as hot as it's going to get, but you can turn the gas up and down a little bit to manipulate it. So, but I failed to mention that, but yeah, it gives you kind of the grill skills based on direct heat, indirect heat, you know, medium heat, over, you know, direct heat. It's really kind of neat when it comes to mastering, you know, the heat of your grill as you're cooking.
Because I never got that right. I would always have it too
hot. It's hard to do.
Or not hot enough, or, you know.
Yeah.
It was hard to get it just right. I don't cook out that much, but that's cool. I would assume at some point in the future, and there may already be one, any listeners know, send us an email, a smart grill. There's one that already has all this kind of baked into it, so to speak.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Good question. I mean, yeah. Not that I have grills, and they work great, so I haven't really shopped for one in a long time, but you got to think there's some kind of smart grill out there.
Yeah. What was that, Vincent?
Yeah. It's usually a thermometer, the eye grill or whatever it is. Yeah.
The eye grill? Is there one called the eye grill?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. The eye grill. Okay.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if Weber owns it or something, but it's part of it. It's just interesting because before that you're reviewing this, Chris, because I was looking at or had an app called On the Grill by Weber. After I picked up my grill a few years back, and it doesn't seem like they have that app anymore. So this one replaced that one, and it has an Apple Watch app, which is pretty neat. So you should check it out.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Same recipes and stuff. Yeah.
Neat app. Okay. Weber Grills, and a free app, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Free app.
They want you to, it works on any grill, but they probably want you to use Weber.
Yeah, no advertisements. You know, it's basically advertisement is their product listing.
Right. All right, cool. All right, Vincent, what do you got?
I'm not going to advertise for Weber, but I think they're great.
A little free plug there. Okay.
Hey, yeah.
There you go.
Well, Weber, send your checks to. No, sorry.
Well, you guys probably don't know that I'm a high stakes, stock broker and buyer on a daily basis. On day trading.
You're a big trader, huh?
I've got this E-Trade app going here. And, I've been managing my portfolio on my phone and looking at how things are going up and down. And now they have, I don't know how long they've had their Apple Watch out, but I finally installed the app and got it on my watch. And I'm able to look at my position and how the NASDAQ and the Dow and the S&P are doing on my watch. It's better than the stock Apple Watch one, where it kind of only shows the things that you are interested in, your favorites. Mm-hmm. This app has the same thing. You can set a list on your phone, and it will display on your watch. And you can see your positions and how much you've earned that day, or how much you've made, how much you've lost. And it looks like I'm down $1.95. right now, so
wait, you have $10 invested, is that right?
I'm trying to make up the difference, the amount of the cost of the trade.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at right now. I don't know. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through the details of the actual phone app itself. It does all the things that you would expect to do, add buy and look at the different charts and how things are going. But the watch app is pretty interesting. It does have two screens that you can see the market position and your watch list. But anything that's private associated with your account, you have to unlock the app on your phone first. This is kind of the first app that I've seen that does that, has that security setting.
That's nice.
Once you open it up, then the other two screens will appear on your watch, and then you can see your positions. It's pretty neat. It's very, very convenient if you're kind of OCD about seeing how your stocks are doing.
Very cool.
Does it have a complication, Vincent?
It does not. I did not come across one.
That'd be neat.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm thinking of downloading it. Another one that I use that does not have an Apple Watch component to it is Scottrade.
Oh, it does.
Okay. Yeah, that does a very similar thing, but they do not have an Apple Watch version. They need to do that.
Oh, I correct it. It does have an application, but it just takes you to the app.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. All right. Okay. So are you? I'm not clear. Are you up or down right now?
I am down a dollar.
You're down a dollar. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
That's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. My plentiful portfolio.
Okay. all right. I have an app here. It's called Misspelled, which is ironic since it's spelled incorrectly. they spell the app Misspelled. And that's on purpose, of course. That's the whole point of the game. But what you do here is you choose from different categories, such as Hollywood, brands, music, sports, and remix, which is kind of a blend of all those categories together. It then asks you if you're ready, and it asks you to turn the crown to begin. So you turn the crown on your watch, and turning the crown highlights like a red line underneath each letter of the word ready. Until you get to the end, and then the word okay shows up and the game begins. Now, the reason they do that is that's kind of how the game works. So you are presented with a word that is misspelled either by transposed letters, there's an extra letter in there, or an incorrect letter. And you must turn the crown to select which incorrect letter or combination of letters that makes the word misspelled. You have to find the error very quickly. Which sounds easy enough, but there's an extremely short timer running on this that makes your decision and your ability to turn the crown quickly very critical. It's really fast. I timed it was less than 5 seconds at the most.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which makes for a lot of mistakes at first when you first start playing this game. So even if you know the answer immediately, if you roll past the letter with a crown just as the time runs out, too bad, game over. You lose. You have to start again. But if you like spelling, or better yet, correcting spelling, this can be a very entertaining game. And I guess it would be good for editors, right? They're probably very good at immediately spotting words that are misspelled. On the iPhone, you cannot play the game. It's only on the watch. But on the phone, you can check out your game stats. You can rate the game there, and you can share your best scores. And it's kind of funny because these options on the phone version and the actual name of the categories are misspelled as well on purpose.
Consistent.
So they have a sense of humor. So anyway, the game is free as of right now, and there are no ads other than a link to the other games that they make on the iPhone. So kind of fun. Again, a little time killer, but it gets your brain going. And your heart rate, too, because it's you got to really move fast. Again, it's one of those things where the crown, even if I get it right, I may not hit the letter or stop on it soon enough with the crown. But it's called misspelled. And if you
do the words get longer and harder as you go, or is it just random?
They're random. But for the Hollywood one, they're usually putting up a name of an actor. So they have their first name kind of small, and their last name is usually misspelled.
Okay.
And that's the one you roll through to get it correct. Some of them, I put it on Remix. I had no idea what the word was. Misspelled or not, I had no
clue.
Too
much stress for me.
Yeah, I had no idea what it was. If you like that sort of thing, it's kind of fun. Kind of
are
neat.
These like short words or like fit on your screen? Or
They fit on the screen, yeah. But like I said, they stack it if it's more than one word. But they do fit on the screen. Let me try one here. Real quick, let me stress myself
like
out.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger might be in like 8 font or 6 font. Yeah,
let me do. Let's see, music, remix, sports. Let me do Hollywood. Let me hit play. It says ready. Okay, Kevin Bacon, and there's an extra C in there. Okay, I got that one right. Mark Wahlberg. There's an LH in that spelled Heath Ledger. There's two G's. I got that one. Hey, I got 3 in a row.
Wow.
Hugo Weaving, 2 N's. I got that one right.
So you're playing that really rapidly.
Macy Gray. This is in lightning round. Murray Abraham, 2 A's. Yep, got it right. David.
So you're manipulating the crown at the same time you're talking to us changing that really quick.
I just missed David Niven. So my.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's way too much stress for me, Tom. Oh gosh.
Yeah, 57%. See, better than. Let's see, it says my best strike is 184. Points better than 71% of the people who play this, apparently.
There you go.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Yeah. And then you have a choice of back to the menu or retry. So, but it's, you see how fast it is.
That was,
it's like one after another, after another, after another.
Now, Chris would be negative 10% compared to everyone else.
Now, I give him credit for creating a very efficient game that loads extremely fast. There's no delay here. So, anyway, maybe have the should have tried to get the developer on. That would have been fun to talk to him about it. But anyway, it's called Misspelled. So if you don't know how to spell the word misspelled, you'll probably find it.
You'll never get him because his email is probably misspelled.
Yeah, exactly. All right, time to move on.
The Apple Watchcast. Listener feedback.
All right, time for listener feedback. Our first email here is from Joe. He says, hello, guys. I'm looking for your recommendations on a sleep tracker app for the watch. I know you have reviewed some on your podcast, but I couldn't remember what they were. Every time I go back, I get so sidetracked looking at all the other apps you have went over since you do a great job with the reviews. Thanks, Joe. Well, thank you for your email, Joe. We've reviewed several of them. Here on the show, the one that I use right now is called Auto Sleep, and you actually don't load it on your watch. You download it to your phone, and it takes the information from your watch as far as you tell it about what time you normally go to bed, and it tracks the activity of the watch to determine when you go to sleep. It's kind of spooky how it knows, but it knows when you put the watch in your charger or there's no activity with the watch past that certain time. All I can say is every morning and it's kind of random. Whenever I've got my watch on and I'm doing whatever, it'll pop up with the notification. I'm sorry, on my phone, it will pop up and tell me you slept, you know, 7 hours and 35 minutes last night. And that'll tell me the percentage. 8 hours is 100%. So it'll tell me it was 93%. And it's pretty accurate as far as these things go, without having to worry about the app that's on the watch or, you know, not working or whatever. It'll, when you download the app, it'll even go back in time and tell you before you even had the app, on a certain day, you can click on it and it'll tell you how much sleep you got. So it's an interesting concept. That's the one I've been using lately. There's a number of other ones out there. Do either of you use a sleep tracking app, by the way?
Nope.
I don't.
Not on the watch.
I don't at all. Yeah. Okay. Did you use Sleep Plus Plus in the past, Tom?
That was another one I used, Sleep Plus Plus. And some of them I found they had issues with crashing, you know, not working properly, et cetera, et cetera. That's why I love this one. There's nothing to crash on the watch. It doesn't matter. It's tracking other things, so to speak. So anyway, yeah, check it out. It's kind of neat. And thanks for looking at all the different reviews. I guess we have done quite a few, haven't we, over the past couple of years?
Well, we just talked about a couple of weeks ago, Apple bought, was it Bedit? Is that what the name was?
Yes.
Right.
Bedit. They make a... So it might be built in, is what you're...
Maybe the next soon-to-be-released built-in sleep app. So that might be one to check out.
It might be. However, Bedit uses a physical device that you put in your bed.
Yeah, they use that strap. That goes across the bed.
But it's big. That's a big. People may not realize how important that is to your health. How much sleep you get, it affects everything you do during the day, and it's just nice for me. It's just a reassurance that yes, I got enough sleep, or I can if I suddenly see those numbers dropping, I'm like, you know what, I need to make an effort to get more sleep because it can creep up on you. You don't really realize, you know, little shortcuts here and there that you're not getting enough sleep to actually be performing at your best, if you will, during the day. Right? It helps with your energy and everything else. So anyway,
it does. It does.
Check it out. Let's see. Moving on, Donna. Says, I recently bought the Alago W3 in white, the watchstand, the one that I guess that's the one that looks like that I reviewed, the Macintosh. Said, I haven't started using it yet, but it's the cutest little thing ever. Wanted to let you know that they offer an education 15% off and designer 20% off discount. Details are on their website. Did not know that. Good to know. Said the shipping was super fast. And they even included a free Alago C6 dual USB car charger with my order. How awesome. Thanks for a great show, Donna. Very nice. I did not know they offered that discount, Donna, and the fact that they threw in that car charger is kind of neat. So it's a little USB car charger that gives you two ports to plug a USB device into. Very nice. Let's see. Paul says, the detection of this arrhythmia by analysis of the cardiogram app would be a major development in the early diagnosis of this dangerous heart rhythm. Finally, the Apple Watch will have a major and unique use to benefit its owner. Thank you for your email, Paul. Yes, he's referring to what we talked about last week with cardiogram and the study that they did that was extremely efficient at predicting this or having early diagnosis of this type of a heart rhythm. And then related to that, we heard from Brian. Said, hi guys, I love the show and wanted to let you know the role you played in the item you discussed last week about the Apple Watch being able to diagnose regular heart rhythm to 97% accuracy. I'm from Sydney, but spent the last 3 years in Singapore and always listened to your podcast, and in late 2015 was diagnosed with AF. I have a beta series watch since the beginning and had noticed some fluctuations in my heart rate, but didn't think anything of it. So I was shocked with the AF diagnosis. When I heard your review of the cardiogram app, I immediately got it and became one of the 200 AF sufferers feeding my data to them, all because I listened to your podcast. Thankfully, I have been placed back in rhythm now, but AF is a silent killer, as often you don't realize you have it until a clot kills you. Anyway, keep up the good work. Well, thank you.
That's a great letter.
For that information, Brian. Yeah, that's amazing. So you were a part of that study that we talked about. That's pretty cool. That's very nice. And yeah, this is just the beginning, I think, of what the watch is going to be able to do for people. Anyway, thank you for that email. Let's see, Ray. He says, guys, I love your podcast. On your website or on your webpage, you provide meeting notes and links. Would it be possible for you to include the same notes and links in the iOS podcast app? See the two examples below. And he showed ours and another podcast. Well, thanks for your email, Ray. I don't put necessarily links in the description of the actual podcast that you see, that you would see in the podcast app in iTunes or on your phone, simply because I guess I don't know why I don't. I guess because I've been putting them in our show notes forever. It's just more stuff to enter into those fields. And I noticed your example that the things that were kind of linked were their sponsors. So, and we don't really have sponsors, so we don't put those kind of links aren't as important to us to put in there. And usually I list so many that you just, there's too much stuff to read. To me, the notes in the iOS are just to tell you what the show's about. And if you want further information, you go to our website, you're going to have all those links there. And I know it's possible to do, Ray. I guess what I'm saying is I'm lazy. basically.
There needs to be an app for that.
There does need to be an app for that. Anyway, thank you for your email there, Ray. And then Dominic says, hello, loving the show. And thank you for all your help and advice so far. That regular contact with all of the news and updates has really helped with my Apple Watch Series 2 since getting it last November. I have a question, though, and wondered if you might be able to help me with it. As someone who is obsessed with completing the rings, as are many of us, I have noticed something a little odd about how it calculates the calories. Recently, I was doing some heavy work in the garden and selected other as a workout, so the exercise would be counted towards my total. When I was near to finishing the work, I spotted that I had used about 400 calories. After completing the work, I forgot to turn the workout off and went and sat down in front of the TV. After a while, I looked at my watch, noticed that I hadn't turned off the workout, and was surprised to see that I had added another 300 or so calories in a relatively short time while just sitting down. If my arm was hardly moving and my heart rate had gone back to a normal rate, what was it measuring? If it is just the time spent working out, then this is ridiculous and bypasses the heart rate monitor and movement sensors, thus throwing into question the whole accuracy of the system. As a quick further test while at work, I went to other as a workout, and in 2 hours and 7 minutes, I apparently used 542 active calories. This is quite surprising, as all I did was walk about 200 meters and then spend the rest of the time sitting at my computer. Any thoughts on this would be welcome. Anyway, keep up the great show. All the best, Dominic. He said, P.S., I don't know about whether or not you've done this in the past, but how about making app or crap more competitive? Suggest a scoring system. For an app you suggest, you score 1 point for every person who thinks it's crap, etc. You score for choosing ridiculous apps that no one would think exist. For a crap you suggest, score 1 point for everyone taken in your suggestion, scoring for the conning people. When guessing, score 1 point for every correct guess. Just thought it might be fun. Yeah, we've done that. We did that for a while. It got out of hand. Okay. We can't be trusted with that type of a system. At the very end, it was an all-in situation. We were just doing ridiculous. It was a lot of fun, but it did get to be a bit out of control. Back to your other question here. Now, we talked about the news here, that recent study that was done that says basically all of these devices, including the Apple Watch, are terrible at doing your calories. But basically, it's based – here's a couple things to check. It's based on how you first set up your watch. So if you choose, you can choose your activity level when you first set it up. But more importantly is choosing your weight. If you change your weight, it will record your active and resting calories accordingly. On the Apple Watch app on your iPhone, if you scroll down to the health settings and make sure your weight and height are accurate. Listeners may remember when I accidentally set my weight to 30 pounds. And that really screwed up the Move goal, which is measuring your calorie burn. So the Apple Watch records active calories and resting calories based on your weight. So the resting calories are what you burn just being alive. Okay, breathing, your heart, all that kind of stuff. Just being a human that's alive, you burn calories just all the time. So it's taking that in consideration as well. Also, make sure you have the right unit of measurement. The U.S. versus metric, if it's way off, that might be part of the reason. But other than that, do you guys have any suggestions for getting more accurate on that?
It does seem really... out of whack that they had the 500 calories for walking 250 meters or yards. That seems totally unusual. I've left my workouts on, actually, when I've left the gym, gotten home and looked, and an hour later, I haven't done much of anything. So it's other than what you said, Tom, I'm not sure, or just seems totally crazy to have that kind of tracking.
Right, but if the weight part was off, that would make a difference. I guess the other thing you could try is to adjust the weight, to lie to it until you get it to where you think it's about right. Other than that, we're just going to have to wait for these things to be more accurate. Mm-hmm. It's estimating. It's an algorithm, right, Vincent, that it's basically tapping into that says if you weigh this much mm-hmm. and you're this age and you're this height, this is what your kind of resting calories should be, right? Isn't that basically right, what right. it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not literally measuring every calorie that you burn. It can't do that. And then based on your activity, again, it's a guess. It's saying, hey, your heart rate is this and your arm movement is this and you turned on a workout that is this. So based on all these algorithms and charts that I have built into my watch, this is what your calories should be. So,
two quick thing. I mean, I travel a lot, as you guys know, and when I run inside, different hotels have different machines for treadmills. And, usually I'm within, calories are within 10% of the machine and my watch, either
that's
up or down.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So it's not too bad. And second, I never take it literally. I say, mm-hmm. if I had a real good day and, it's 850 calories, I know I had a really good day. I'm not saying I had 850 calories. If I had a 400 calorie day, well, it wasn't as good as an 800 calorie day. So I kind of use it relative to each other.
Right. I mean, if it says you're burning, if it says you're burning more calories than you think you are, that doesn't mean you can go eat some more donuts.
That's right.
Oh, it doesn't?
No. Stop that, Vincent. Stop that.
Glucose reader will subtract calories from that.
Mm. Oh, ooh. Or no, I like that. Well, Tim Cook said, when he mentioned, now that you're saying this, I remember he mentioned that, remember we said earlier that he'd lost 30 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
He said it's because of the glucose monitoring. It's not necessarily just from, it's a combination of things, but that was
draining his blood.
That's right.
No, it gets a shock. He eats a donut, it shocks you. You eat it like a nice salad, it just vibrates.
But that he's watching it spike. And it must stop him from continuing to eat or something, right?
He could.
That could be one heck of an incentive for weight, right? That's kind of cool. So, obviously very helpful for people with diabetes, but I think that it would be extremely helpful also for people who don't have it, who just want to monitor their levels mm-hmm. so they don't become diabetic, right?
The smart band is if you have to go out another notch. It tells you to stop eating.
I like
that. It turns a red color. Your whole band turns red. Don't eat.
So it's a weight
band. Turns green. You can eat now.
So it's a weight band for the Apple Watch.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's one of the smart ones they're talking about. All right. Well, thank you for all your emails, tweets, reviews, ratings, and send us an email or leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll try to read it here on the show because we do love hearing from you. And if you haven't yet, please take a moment and leave us a review or even just a rating on iTunes. It does help us find new listeners. We pop up a lot. Can't even speak at the end of the show. It helps us. It helps the show forget it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, I give up.
After 8:30, Tom turns into a puddle.
I do. It's past my bedtime, apparently. But anyway, leave us a review or even just a rating in iTunes. It all helps keep us on the radar to find new listeners. That's how they can discover us, because the more reviews that we get in iTunes, it helps push our podcast higher. So it makes us visible, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So please do that if you get a chance. Any last words before we dock this week into nightstand mode?
Hey, just that I saw a tweet. I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was some kind of news magazine that Steve Wozniak said that Apple's too big to innovate. And as I go through these podcasts with you guys, you know, maybe they're not innovating with big, brand new, shiny products, but look at the things they're doing with this watch. That's mm-hmm. some innovation. You know, we talked mm-hmm. about two or three things today. So I think Apple's innovating.
Well, I think the perception is that they're not, but the reality is that these devices, and I'm particularly talking about their big cash cow, the iPhone, is so mm-hmm. mature at this point. There is not much innovation left in these devices. You know, what more do you want your phone to do?
Exactly.
That it doesn't already.
Every product in the history of the world has gone through a life cycle.
Exactly. And I think it's reaching that point of the life cycle that makes it look like Apple's not doing anything, you know, amazing. That's why we kind of started this podcast, was I kind of saw the watch as maybe that next big thing that could be really amazing. And, mm-hmm. you know, Apple started out on a certain path and now they've kind of switched. You know, it's more fitness. We'll find out in the WWDC keynote coming up whether they're going to change that direction yet again or just refine where they're going with the new OS for the watch. But I've been very happy with it. And as I've said before, if only in comparison to iPhone sales is something like the watch not an amazing product to most people, right? Mm-hmm. If it was a standalone company, it'd be huge. It'd be an mm-hmm. amazingly large, successful company, and talking about it would be completely different. But it just suffers from having a very successful relative.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
In the iPhone. So anyway, well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here on this holiday. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show and get a little something in return, you can become a patron of the Apple Watchcast on our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Select whatever level you'd like to subscribe to and get a lot of cool stuff for doing so. It doesn't cost a lot and it helps us to continue to produce this show every week. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on our show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes, and don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about the show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to address it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
And we're done.
All right.
Oh, crap. I forgot to hit record.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Just kidding.
Do that all over again. Take two.
I'm waiting for you to say that one time, but I'd be very shocked.
I actually did that one time, didn't I, Vincent? Not through the whole show, but...
Not through the whole show.
No, part way in, though, I was we got to start over, guys.
Oh, no.
Yes. Or it screwed up. I think at one point I hit the wrong key on the keyboard, and like for a 10-minute gap, we weren't recording at all. So that's lost forever. I don't think I had the backup recorder at that point either.
The best damn 10 minutes of the Apple Watchcast ever.
Gone.